You're listening to WWBC 1510 AM 94.7 FM, the Christian voice of Brevard.
To sacrifice to get out the Word of God. For Jeremiah and Christians throughout history, and even today, there's often a very high price to pay for proclaiming God's Word. Welcome to Through the Bible. In this study, Dr. J. Vernon McGee is going to give us a glimpse into the personal life of Jeremiah beginning at chapter 9. I'm Steve Schwetz, and as we begin, my friend and Through the Bible's president, Greg Harris, is here with a few stories about the sacrifices that our brothers and sisters around the world are making to share God's Word with others.
Well, probably one of the most humbling aspects of doing what we do is meeting people that you almost feel you're not worthy to call yourself a brother, because we live in such comfort. And I'm not saying we should, you know, beat ourselves up and be, we have a lot, and God has blessed this country and has blessed the West. But when you travel and you meet people that literally are risking their lives for the gospel, It's very humbling. It's also motivating.
Yeah.
Let's make the sacrifices we can. Let's not try to do what God hasn't called us to do. But think about, Steve, I mean, we have a very good friend, Viktor Aktorov. You know him very well.
Yeah.
And his father was imprisoned, I think, for 10 years.
Yeah, 10 years.
And I remember, you may recall this story, when the Ukraine war started in the early days, actually when Crimea was invaded by Russia, and I'm not getting political here, I'm just describing what happened. There, some of the volunteers with FEBC Ukraine lost their lives, and apparently it was in the same building where Viktor's father was in prison.
Wow.
And you may remember, he told us a story of they were, and I don't want to upset people with sensitive, delicate natures, but they were breaking the bones of these men. And there was a woman who was not a Christian who heard this and said, when they died, they were singing praise to God.
Wow.
And she said, I'm not a Christian, but that touched me.
Yeah.
And these are the kind of people that are taking through the Bible to the world.
Yeah. Also, the oppression, frankly, that exists in Muslim countries. I mean, I remember we were in Jordan during Ramadan, and I had never experienced that. I mean, I understand what Ramadan is to the Islamic faith, but when there's a call to prayers and it's on every loudspeaker in every mosque, which means it is pervasive throughout the community, you cannot be in that part of the country, certainly in that city, and not hear that call for chanting and prayers. And it is an oppressive feeling to sit there as a believer, knowing that that's what's going on.
And I remember when you brought that up, it reminded me, we were at dinner, we were outdoors, it was beautiful weather at a restaurant, and everybody was sitting there not touching their food, and you and I were just looking at our hosts saying, what is going on?
Yeah.
And they said, because sundown hasn't occurred yet, and they can't eat. And if we started eating, it would have been a real problem.
Yeah, a big deal.
And that's just a little thing, but we want to ask you, pray for those that are undergoing persecution, and for the listeners and viewers. We've told you the story. We've written articles about a man that watched our television, our Arabic TV program in Saudi Arabia, just began asking questions about Islam, ended up, he was a multimillionaire. They took all his money, threw him in prison, public lashings. He finally escaped. He literally is a modern day Apostle Paul. And these are the people that are receiving Through the Bible as well.
Yeah. Yeah, such an encouragement. Yeah. Greg, let me pray for us as we begin our program. Heavenly Father, we are aware that those of us listening in the English language primarily are blessed, Lord, with both prosperity and with a freedom to worship you and to have a Bible. And we know that's not always the case throughout the world. We know there are many people who are believers and who are searching for a meaning in life that live in a very oppressive environments. We pray that you would use Through the Bible in part to reach some of those people, Lord, that you would call them to yourself. And when they do profess faith in Christ, that you would give them strength to endure, and you would give them the ability to continue to live, to glorify you, to tell many others about Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Now let's turn to Jeremiah 9 as we make our way through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Now today, friends, we pick up our study in the 10th chapter. And again, let me call your attention to the mechanics here of Jeremiah. If you pay attention to that, It'll make these messages much more real to you, and it will give you an understanding you could not otherwise get. In chapters 2-6, he gave those messages during the first 5 years of his ministry, that is, Jeremiah's ministry. And that was before the book of the law was found. Then in chapters 7-9 that we looked at last time, those messages were given when the temple was cleansed and the book of the law was found. And he stood in the gate of the temple and delivered those messages to those who came to the temple to worship. And the thing of it was, they were flocking to the temple. They'd given generously to the rebuilding of it. They were going through the ceremonies. They had the greatest Passover that they had ever had during the time of the reign of the kings. Why, David had never had anything like this. But in spite of all of that, all of this was surface. The hearts of the people were not reached, and their lives were not changed. And friends, if a revival does not change the lives of people, it's meaningless. In fact, it could not be called a revival. Now, may I say to you that we have here two things before we get into chapter 10 that I'd like to call attention to, and both of them are in chapter 9. And I mentioned one of them last time, but this first one, I did not. What effect did this have on Jeremiah? How did he give this message? Was he one of these hard-boiled fundamentalists today that likes to criticize somebody else and rule them out? No, he was not that kind at all. Here is what he says in chapter 9, verse 1. Oh, that my head were waters and mine eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people. Oh, that I had in the wilderness a lodging place of wayfaring men, that I might leave my people and go from them, for they be all adulterers, an assembly of treacherous men. Now, this is the effect the message had on Jeremiah. When he stood there giving that message, tears were streaming down his eyes. And that's the reason that the people later on, when Jesus wept over Jerusalem, and though he gave a harsh message, he could weep over the city. They could say, well, they think he's Jeremiah because of the fact that he was weeping. The message he gave broke his heart. And that's important. I believe today, as someone said about Dwight L. Moody, an unbeliever in Chicago, a businessman. They asked him, although he was not a Christian, why he went to hear Moody especially preach on the subject of hell. He says, he's the only man that I know that has a right to speak on hell because he has a concern for people. May I say to you, my friend, the person you're criticizing today, do you really love them? Are you concerned about them? Are you concerned about the church, really? Are you concerned today about the ones that we point our finger at and find fault with? Well, it broke Jeremiah's heart. And now the second thing, I called attention to this. It's these two wonderful verses. You can actually lift them out. They stand alone, but they certainly need to be put in this passage here. And I come back to them, verse 23 now of chapter 9. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. Now, I want to be very frank with you. I have no confidence in any unsaved man that he today can exercise loving kindness or judgment and righteousness. I don't think he can do it. And I think that history and the world bears evidence that this is true, that you have to know God. The things we trust in today, of course, wisdom and riches and power. We speak of the atom bomb that we have got with one of the great world powers. But friends, we're weak on the inside. And that is the thing that's important. We've lost our moral purpose. You remember when we entered World War II and they revived that song they had sung before? The Yanks are coming. The Yanks are coming. Oh, my, we had a moral purpose then. We had a high sense of right and wrong. And now we've lost all that. Our strength today is not in the brain trust. Our strength today is not in Wall Street and the stock market and the economy. And our strength is not in the smartness of these politicians. And our strength is not in the fact we've got atom bombs. Our strength is in that which has to do with the spiritual, moral values, character, and purpose. And these things are not even taught today in our schools or in our colleges. And we have brought forth a generation that is rude and hairy, a generation that has no sense of moral purpose at all. In fact, we've lost our way, as Jeremiah says to his people, we've lost our way on the dark mountains. And America is just coasting along. And when you start coasting, you're going downhill. What a message this book has. It's not very popular today, I can assure you that. And I'm afraid I'm not making friends and influencing people. But Jeremiah didn't either. So I'm going to stand with him because I believe that today there is still hope for revival, because after these words, there came revival to the land. Now here in chapter 10, as we come to chapter 10 today, and I want to finish this particular message that we have here from chapter 10 through 12, we have reform and revival after the finding of the book of the law. Now there was reformation, but not revival during this particular period, but it had all the outward appearances. Evidently, when this man Josiah heard the law, and he could see how far the people had fallen from God's intention for them, it moved the man, and he was tremendously changed. And what he did, he made a covenant with these people, that they had to make a covenant that they would serve God. Now here in chapter 10, what we have is, and it goes all into chapter 11, that the people were substituting something for God. And people always have substitutes for God. If you are not worshiping God, the living God today, and I don't care who you are, you have a God. It may be yourself. A great many people are great at worshiping self. And there are a great many folk that worship money. Some worship fame. Some will sell their honor and sell their lives in order to attain some unworthy goal. Some are willing to be dishonest to become rich. We have many substitutes for God. And now Jeremiah is going to talk about that. Listen to him. Chapter 10, verse 1. Hear ye the word which the Lord speaketh unto you, O house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, learn not the way of the heathen, and be not dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the heathen are dismayed at them. The public is running after the zodiac. We like to know what sign so-and-so was born under and all that nonsense. You see, people have substitutes for God. If you won't worship the living and true God, then you're going to start looking at the stars and you're going in for all of that foolishness today, and I say it's foolishness. Now, God says, learn not the way of the heathen. After all, the astrologers, those wise men that came out of the East to worship Jesus, they knew more about the stars than this crowd does today because they've just picked up this that has come from the pagan heathen world. Now, will you notice? He says, for the customs of the people are vain, they're empty. For one cutteth a tree out of the forest, the work of the hands of the workman with the axe. They deck it with silver and with gold. They fasten it with nails and with hammers that it move not. Now, may I say this, and I'd like to say it kindly, but it's so utterly preposterous and ridiculous that I must emphasize that a great many people say this is the reason you shouldn't have Christmas trees, for that's what he's talking about. Well, now to begin with, Jeremiah's talking to his people about idolatry. and nobody had a Christmas tree in that day. This has no reference to a Christmas tree. It has reference to the fact that this man, Jeremiah, is in bitter irony. He's ridiculing the idolatry of the day. He says you go out in the woods, you cut down a tree. And the thing that you do, Isaiah said, actually, you could use part of it to make a fire and warm yourself, and you could cook your meal on part of it. And he said that would be a pretty good part of the tree. But to fall down and worship the thing that you made, and the thing that they do here, they cut down it, they shape it, and they make of it an image, and they deck it with silver and with gold, and they fasten it with nails and hammers. That's their god. This is an idol that he's talking about here. And what he's really saying is you're worshiping a scarecrow. Now, friends, if at Christmas time you get down before your Christmas tree and start bowing before it and worshiping it, I would say that this could have reference to you. But I don't even know any unsaved pagan in our country today that worships a Christmas tree. They all put it up, but they don't worship it. They understand it's more or less of a decoration. It means practically nothing to them other than that. But this is idolatry. Now, a great many people today worship at Christmas time themselves, and, oh, it's what I can get, not what I can give. That's important. And these are the things. Now, he goes on to say here, verse 6, for as much as there's none like unto thee, O Lord, thou art great, and thy name is great and might. In other words, they turn from the living and true God, and they begin to worship these things around, the stars, the zodiac. Then God goes on to say here, verse 11, thus shall ye say unto them, the gods that have not made the heavens and the earth, even they shall perish from the earth and from under the heavens. He says, these gods, they didn't create this universe. Our God, the living God, created it. Verse 12, he hath made the earth by his power. He hath established the world by his wisdom, and he hath stretched out the heavens by his discretion. In other words, those stars are up there in the places they're in because God put them there, and that's where he wanted them. And he didn't put them where I want them. He put them where he wanted them. And this is his universe, and he's the one to be worshipped. And we call ourselves civilized today. And we find ourselves giving ourselves to that which does not help at all, a little zodiac. Can you imagine intelligent people dealing with that kind of thing and this matter of fortune-telling and all of that? Why not worship the living and the true God and get into big business today? He says here, verse 23, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It's not in man that walketh to direct his steps. No man, apart from the revelation of God, from the Word of God, can walk aright. The minute you turn from the Word of God, you're going out on a detour. That's natural, and we begin that way. I took my little grandson when he was learning to walk for a walk, and he and I'd walk around the block. And I want to say this. He's a wonderful little fella. I wish I had 45 minutes to tell you about him. But I want to tell you, when I got back, I was worn out. You know why? Every sidewalk we came to, he wanted to go up there. You come to a driveway, he wants to run out in the street. When you get to a corner, he wants to go the wrong way. I have never seen a little fella that wanted to go as many wrong ways as he wanted to go. And finally, when I got back one time, I looked at him and I called him by name. I said, you know, Kim, you're just like your grandfather. When he got away from the Word of God, he always went down a detour. May I say to you, it's not in man to direct his steps. Now in chapter 11 here, again, we have this tremendous message that's given now that the law has been read. And again, I must remind you that after the Ten Commandments were given in chapter 20, there were certain judgments that God gave. And that's been the thing that Jeremiah's been referring to. It's that which conditions life. It has to do with the way you treat your neighbor. It has to do with the way that you conduct your business. It's what kind of social life are you living today? Are you one of these individuals that is emphasizing sex? And there's some that are worshiping that, and there's some in the church that worship that today. I know of men who've left their wives, run off with some little secretary or some little girl that doesn't have anything upstairs but a whole lot downstairs, and they think that they still can serve the Lord. Jeremiah makes it clear, my friend, you've gone down a detour. You're away from God. And all of this business of talking about how fundamental you are, you can talk about doctrine, and believe me, I insist on that. I'm sure you recognize that. But my friend, when you talk about doctrine and that you are right as far as your doctrine is concerned and you are a separated Christian, I'd really like to know what kind of a life you're living. How honest are you? How clean are you in your living? That's what he's talking about here. This gets right down where we're living today. And most of us, if we were honest, would go and get down before God and confess and say, oh, God, I want to walk with you. I want to come close to you. But they didn't do it in Jeremiah's day, and maybe won't be many of you do it either. And maybe that crowd's already tuned me out anyway. Now, chapter 11, verse 1, the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, hear ye the words of this covenant. Now, this is the covenant that Josiah made with these people. He called in the people. You'll find out that when the law was read to the people, the king called in their leaders and made them take an oath that they are going to follow the word of God. And now he says, and say thou unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, cursed be the man that obeyeth not the words of this covenant. Now, before they didn't know it. They just found the book of the law. Now they know it, and their responsibility is greater. God says, cursed is the man now that doesn't. Before, they were not. I would rather be, and I've said this many times as a pastor, I would rather be a heathen. I'd rather be that individual than to be a church member who sits in a church where a man stands in the pulpit and preaches the word of God and has done nothing about it. May I say to you, I've got more respect for the heathen to begin with, and I think, my friend, that God may get the gospel to that fella. This man has rejected it, and God will judge him. My, what a tremendous section this in. Now, it closes here with the fact that this man is rejected by his hometown. Verse 19 now of chapter 11. But I was like a lamb or an ox that is brought to the slaughter, and I knew not that they had devised devices against me, saying, let us destroy the tree with the fruit thereof, and let us cut him off from the land of the living, that his name be no more remembered. But, O Lord of hosts, that judgest righteously, that tries the reins in the heart, let me see thy vengeance on them, for unto thee have I revealed my cause. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of the men of Anathoth, that's his hometown, that seek thy life, saying, prophesy not in the name of the Lord. He says, no use speaking to Anathoth anymore. They've rejected me. They want to kill you, and you don't give a prophecy to them anymore. Did you know that there are churches today that one time stood for the things of God and taught the word of God? And today, people say, oh, isn't it terrible? They're being deserted. It's not terrible. The word's not being given out anymore. And I imagine that there are a lot of pious saints in Anathoth said, oh, isn't it terrible that Jeremiah's no longer giving the word of God here? Well, he's gone somewhere else. He's given it somewhere else because these people are going to kill him, which means they've rejected the word of God. What a picture this is. Cost this man Jeremiah something, broke his own heart, and it alienated his hometown from him. And that's what our Lord meant. A prophet's not without honor, save among his own people. He had to leave Nazareth, you remember. Moved his headquarters down to Capernaum. And that's exactly what this young man is having now to do. Now, next time, we'll pick up a chapter 12 in this book of Jeremiah. This is tremendous, isn't it? It's a message that you don't hear today. There was a day when evangelists sounded out messages like this. They don't today. They say, come to Jesus, and he'll give you a new personality, and he may make you rich, and you're going to get along well. That's not what Jeremiah said. He said, it'll cost you something to turn to God, but it'll be worth everything you have to pay. Oh, what a message this is. I hope you're with us next time. May God richly bless you, my beloved.
Learn how you can grow in your relationship with God at ttb.org or call 1-800-65-BIBLE. If you don't know him yet, well, we got a couple of free resources that describe the gift of salvation that's found only in Jesus Christ. We'd encourage you to check it out. We'd love to send them to you. Again, to be in touch, visit ttb.org or call 1-800-65-BIBLE. I'm Steve Schwetz, and I'll save you a seat on the Bible bus. And we're sure grateful for your company as together we take God's whole word to the whole world.
Jesus made it all to be my own. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
Well, ride the Bible bus for 5 years, and you'll be amazed at what God teaches you from His Word about what it means to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. It's a blessing that keeps on going. That's what we believe at Through the Bible.
Hi, fishing enthusiasts. Want to watch a local fishing show here in Brevard County in your home waters? Well, look no further. Go to YouTube Space Coast Fishing Show and watch all our shows, ranging from freshwater to saltwater. You can leave a comment, hit that like and subscribe button, and we sure would appreciate it. Remember, YouTube Space Coast Fishing Show. God bless.
Thank you.
You're listening to WWBC Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
Well, praise the Lord. Once again, this is your radio pastor, James Rawls, from New Life Assembly of God. And we're the church in the city with the city in his heart. We love you. We thank God for you. And we continue to pray that you will continue to correspond with us via phone calls. And at some point in time, when the Holy Spirit touches your heart, that you will come and give us a visitation at our church. We love you. We thank God for you. And I want to pray for my faith partners and radio listeners out there, because we really and truly love you. Father, in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, I pray that you would touch those that have tuned into the broadcast, that they would be blessed of the Lord hearing his word in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Amen. Glory to God. Well, today we want to look at Colossians, the epistle that was written to Apostle Paul, praise God, by Apostle Paul to the Church of Colossae, praise the Lord. And I think that is good, and I think that Apostle Paul's epistle to us, praise the Lord, is a wonderful thing. But I want to stand corrected for a moment. Let me just see whether Apostle Paul heard what the Word of God was saying, that he would give this epistle to the Church of Colossae. Praise the Lord. And we want to look at what it says there in Colossians 1 and verse 12, because every time we have an opportunity that we can glorify our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we want to do that. And the most important thing is that we give thanks. And this morning, as he, through the power of the Holy Spirit, touched you and woke you up this morning, allowing you to see this wonderful day, we want to praise him. We want to thank him. And we say, welcome, Holy Spirit. What do you have for me to do today by the power and the anointing? Because there's always something that we have to talk about. So I want to look at Colossians 1 and verse 12, and we want to go from there, because we give thanks unto the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
We give thanks unto the Lord, because he is the one that has blessed us and strengthened us all, and our focus is on him and him alone, or should I say on he and he alone. Praise God. No one else, nothing else. Only the Lord Jesus Christ. And truly, Minister Glory, when we look at what is taking place in this earth realm today, we need to stay focused on the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And pray and thank him for his infinite wisdom and his omnipotent power that he has invested in us. We don't have the infinite wisdom. It only comes through the power of the Holy Spirit, because the Bible tells us that we have an unction from the Holy One, and we know all things. So the Spirit of the living God knows everything, and we want to just look at what the Word says today. No preaching, just want to do a little teaching here, because I strongly believe that by teaching the Word of God, everyone will be strengthened, and they will know exactly what the Holy Spirit is saying. Praise God. So in Colossians 1 and verse 12, it says, giving thanks unto the Father. Giving thanks unto the Father. Isn't that something?
Yes.
Who has made us able, or perhaps meet, to be partakers of the inheritance of saints in light.
Amen.
Now, this is what the Father has done. And this is why we give thanks unto him. Because he was the one that made us able to be partakers of the inheritance. Do you know today out there in Radio Land that you have an inheritance?
Mm-hmm.
And that inheritance is
eternal life.
eternal life through what our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has done for us. Mm-hmm. So it says, giving thanks unto him, praise God, who has made us partakers. Mm-hmm. We're able to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. And this is what we need to be doing as children of God. Mm-hmm. We need to walk in the light. You know, I remember when John was saying there that, First John was saying, he said, walk in the light.
Yes, walk in the light.
As he is in the light. Mm-hmm. And we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. We need that light.
Yes.
So God is light, and in him there's no darkness at all. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. Mm-hmm. So, Minister Gordon, so first of all, he's given us an inheritance, and we thank him for it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the second part of that passage tells us what he has done.
He has delivered us.
Praise God.
Yes. Who has delivered us from the power of darkness. Glory to God.
Amen. Now, he, first of all, made us able to be partakers mm-hmm. of the inheritance, mm-hmm. of the inheritance of the saints in light. And second of all, he has delivered us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's amazing how a lot of church folks, they get in a prayer line and they say they want to pray for me to be delivered from whatever the situation is.
Mm-hmm.
But I strongly believe that if they were to read their Bible and see what God has done, they can walk in this deliverance.
Amen.
The same way with people saying, well, I have this problem or that problem. Pray for my faith. All they need to do is to sit under the unadulterated word of God and receive faith.
Yes.
Because where the word of God is preached, then faith is there.
Amen.
And where the will of God is, there's faith. Praise God. So you don't have to ask somebody to pray your faith and so forth, because all you need to do is to receive the word of God. Because in Romans, the 10th chapter, 17th verse, it tells us that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, you know? So the most important thing is that we need to know exactly what the word is saying.
Amen.
You know? We don't need anybody to try to tell us, well, pray that I have more faith. No, I pray that you be in a place where the word of God is being taught.
Yes.
So that you are able to understand and to walk by faith. Because the scripture tells us how faith comes. Faith comes by the word of God.
Amen.
Praise and that's God's word, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. So in Colossians there, it tells us that, first of all, he's made us able to be partakers of the inheritance of saints in light. And we are saints, mm-hmm. saints of God, mm-hmm. and we are walking in the light of the word. We're walking in God, because God is light, according to 1 John. Now, the second thing is that he has delivered us. Now, I'm going to ask you a question here. If he's delivered you, mm-hmm. then why are people getting in prayer line and say, pray for my deliverance, for God to deliver me from this. Well, he's already done this.
Praise God.
Can you see that?
Mm-hmm.
He's already delivered you. That's a past tense designation. In other words, it's something that has already been done. But what we're trying to do is that we want to feel that we have part in what he has done already. You weren't there when he delivered you. He delivered you on the cross of Calvary when he took everything and nailed it to his cross. So what is he saying here? So he has delivered, now that's past tense,
yes.
us from what?
The power of darkness.
He's delivered us from the power of darkness. You see, this is why we vehemently say that the devil has no power over you, only the power that you give him, because he is defeated. His power was broken there on Calvary's cross.
Right.
And this is why we need to understand as children of God, should I say, because folks that are in the world, they don't know about the power of God. They just see something that's taking place, but they don't understand what it is. But we know what it is, and we know who it is, because God, Jehovah Elohim, sent his son, Jesus, praise God, into this world to bring forth deliverance. And if you love the Lord Jesus Christ, if you have received him into your heart as a child of God, then you've been delivered from the powers of darkness.
Amen.
Jesus broke the power of sin.
Yes, he did.
He did it on the cross of Calvary. Yes, you know, people today are not even talking about sin. Mm-hmm. They're preaching a feel good gospel. You want to feel good, you know? But this thing is not in that fashion, feeling good. I mean, God wants you to be blessed and to walk in the joy of the Lord, which is our strength. But this is spiritual warfare. This is something that is taking place each and every day. And I hear people say, well, I got to put on the armor today. Well, let me tell you something. In this warfare, you never disrobe yourself. You stay fully clothed.
Amen.
With all of the armor that God has blessed us with. Praise God.
Praise God.
So we can walk this Christian journey. All right. So now let's get back to Colossians 1 and verse 12. So number one, he's made us able to be to be partakers of the inheritance of saints in the light. And number two, he has delivered us from the power of darkness. This is what Jesus has done.
Yes.
It has nothing to do with me. Thank God for his grace. But Jesus did this. And this is why we lift him up.
Amen.
We exalt the name of Jesus, and we thank him for everything. There's so much that's going on today, and everybody... most people are seeing things from a cockeye. You know what a cockeye is, a cockeye perspective. Otherwise, they're not seeing it correctly. They're not seeing it through the eyes of the Spirit. But everything that is taking place, the Lord Jesus Christ gets the credit because he is the deliverer. He is the one that delivered you from the power. Okay. In other words, from the authority of the devil. From the authority of the devil. And this is why it's so important that we walk according to what the word of God says.
In confirmation to that,
eh?
In Colossians 2 and 14, it says, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it.
Well, this is what he has done. Why is it so difficult for us to, as believers, to believe what he has done already? Why do we feel that we have to be instrumental, should I say, in trying to take authority over certain things? What it is that Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, he has done it all.
Yes.
He left nothing undone. Mm-hmm. When he went back and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God, he sat down because he had finished the work that was given to him to do.
Yes.
Because otherwise, he would have not have been able to sit down because the work was unfinished. But when he said,
"It is finished,"
pray to the Father, they said that it is finished.
That's it.
Then it is finished.
It's done.
You know, it's a done deal. Mm-hmm. So now all we as children of God must do is to walk in what he has done.
Amen.
You know?
Amen.
And we have received that. Because in Colossians 2 and verse 6, it tells us that As you have received the Lord Jesus, walk ye in him. Amen. So we have received him by faith, and therefore we walk in him by faith. And that faith is in what he has done for us on Calvary's cross. Now let's go back to Colossians 1 and verse 12 so we can complete that passage. Mm-hmm. Because like I said, this is teaching here this morning. I pray that everyone that have tuned in to the broadcast, wherever you are and whoever you are, listen to me very carefully. The Word of God is the authority. That's the first thing that you and I should acknowledge. Not what some man is saying if he's not saying what the Word of God is saying. Because when you hear what the Word of God is saying, you're hearing faith. You're hearing faith because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. So read the next portion of that verse of Scripture.
And has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son.
Now, and has translated us.
Praise God.
So in other words, he defeated the powers of darkness.
Yes.
And he didn't just leave you in some midstream, should I say. No, when he delivered you from, mm-hmm. he brought you to.
Yes, amen.
And he brought you to the kingdom of his dear Son.
Yes.
So when I say brought, other words, the scriptures say he translated yes. you into the kingdom of God. And the only way you can get into the kingdom of God is through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You get in other way. There's no other entrance, a way that you can get into the kingdom of God except through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And that's why Jesus was saying, he said that all that have come before me are thieves and robbers. Mm-hmm. You know, it says, if any man coming not through the door, but climb up some other way, he's a thief and a robber. Mm-hmm. So you can't get into the kingdom without coming through the Lord Jesus Christ. Matter of fact, there's a verse of scripture just popped up in my spirit. In St. John 14 and verse 6, we'll clarify everything because you have to come through the Lord Jesus Christ.
That's right.
You see, what it is, the problem is that people, instead of hearing the word and receiving the word, they're running from the word. You see, don't run from the word when you have a problem. Run to the word because the word is God. And God is the one that will change your life and remove all the burdens and whatever it is that you're being challenged by as a child of God. And this message is not only for a child of God. It's for folks that don't even know the Lord Jesus Christ. Right. Now, I know that the epistles were written to church folks, but I want to tell you, there may be somebody out there that have tuned in to the broadcast, some say by mistake. I don't believe that it's by mistake. It was a divine appointment because somebody need to hear what we're saying. Mm-hmm. Praise God. So you want to read St. John 14 and verse 6. And this is how you get into the kingdom of God.
Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth,
amen,
and the life.
Amen.
No man coming unto the Father but by me.
So, listen, so to get to the Father, you have to come through the Son. Praise God. And I've often said in this broadcast and many others that God is not going to jump over Jesus to give you a blessing. And the reason being is that he sent his Son. That's who came into this earth realm to do the will of the Father. So you want to be blessed, and I want to use this in an inverse order because he came from the Father into this earth realm. Now, Minister Gloria just read moments ago there that you can't get back to the Father except through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So the blessings comes to us from Calvary. I want to say that again. The blessings come to us from Calvary. And many people are telling you, well, listen, God will do this. God, listen, God's not going to jump over his son in whom he sent to give you a blessing. Everything comes through and by the cross of Calvary.
Amen.
Amen. That is that. If you really look at it, because if you can't go back to the Father except going through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, then you can't be blessed by the Father except God, what Jesus Christ has done. Mm-hmm. And many people today say, well, I'm blessed. But everything that I have seen, according to what the Word of God says, is that it is in him, that's in Christ Jesus, through him, that's through Christ Jesus, by him, that's by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So he has done it all. Now, keep in mind, in Colossians 1 and verse 12, it tells us that giving thanks, that's why we give thanks unto the Father. Because the Father was, Minister Glory, the Father was the one that gave us the victory.
Praise God.
He gave us the victory, but it was given to us through Jesus Christ. Matter of fact, read that verse of Scripture so that we won't be misquoted. For those, somebody out there, some critics out there might be waiting to see if there's a slip-up so that they can make some illegal allegations concerning what the Word says. Now, in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 57, what does it tell us there concerning what the Father has done? This is why we give thanks unto the Father. Praise God. We give thanks unto the Father, which gives us the victory.
That's right. Through our Lord Jesus Christ.
So there it is. It's through our Lord Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. See, if we are victorious people through what Christ has done.
Yes.
Suppose Christ didn't come. Mm-hmm. Then we would still be in sin.
That's so true.
We would still be in sin.
Mm-hmm.
But thank God that the Father sent his Son.
Praise God.
He wanted a family.
Yep.
So what he did is that he sent his son Jesus so that he can have sons and daughters. Praise God.
Praise
now,
the Lord.
Amen. Mm-hmm. So if you want to get back to the Father, you got to come through Jesus.
Must come through Jesus.
Amen. All right. So now, number one, giving thanks unto the Father, Colossians 1:12, mm-hmm. giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us able or meet to be partakers of the inheritance of saints in light. The inheritance of saints in light. There are a lot of people are not walking in this light, and I question myself to whether do they have an inheritance, because the inheritance is to the saints that are in light. And the second part of, I mean, there's so much to break down. You can unpack a lot of revelation from just that verse, that passage of Scripture there. Now, and it also talks about, well, who has delivered us? Now, the Father, as you've read there in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 57, mm-hmm. you didn't complete it, but we can complete it
yes.
through looking at it that... we give thanks unto the Father,
which give us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Okay, so he gave us the victory, but the victory that he gave was through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Now, that's just as clear as the nose on your face
mm-hmm.
if you really want to accept it. Now, furthermore, we have the victory,
mm-hmm.
but it was through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Now, let's jump back to Colossians 1 and verse 12.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Bible talks about line upon line and precept upon precept, a little here and a little there, so we can get the whole picture of what's actually going on.
Mm-hmm.
So now, the inheritance of saints in light, one, he has delivered us from the power of darkness is number two.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Number three is that he's translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. Mm-hmm.
And then, in whom we have redemption through his blood.
And in whom we have redemption
through his blood.
Through his blood. Mm-hmm. This blood was shed there on Calvary's cross.
Amen.
That's what brought forth redemption. Mm-hmm. I'm redeemed because of the shed blood of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Praise God.
And if you're born again, you are redeemed by the blood.
Through the blood.
That's why we plead the blood.
Mm-hmm.
Everywhere we go, we plead the blood. We plead the blood against any adverse situation or whatever that the enemy is doing. We plead the blood because when the enemy sees the blood, mm-hmm. it terrifies him and lets him know that he's defeated.
Yes.
You know, a lot of times he probably doesn't know that he's defeated until he sees the blood. Because when the blood is seen, that shows that he is defeated.
Mm-hmm.
So it's okay, so we have redemption through his blood.
Even the forgiveness of sins.
And the forgiveness of sin. And the forgiveness of sin.
Thank God for forgiveness of sins.
Thank God mm-hmm. that our sins are forgiven.
It's all done at the cross of Calvary.
Isn't that something?
Yes, that is something.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And this is why through what Jesus did at the cross of Calvary,
mm-hmm.
he made it possible mm-hmm. for us
to have all these benefits.
Have all these benefits mm-hmm. and also to be forgiven.
Mm-hmm.
Praise God. And that's why now we can be seated, as Paul said in Ephesians 2 and verse 6, that we've been made to sit together with him, praise God, in heavenly places, far above principalities and powers and mights and dominions. Well, I want to tell you, we have 1 minute left here, and I dare not close this broadcast out without folks that are religious out there, folks that are unsaved or unregenerated, and whoever and whatever it is out there, we just want to extend this invitation that you can call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Praise God. So, Minister Glory, would you read that
it says
quickly?
That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved.
Amen. Amen.
With the heart, man believes unto righteousness. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Oh, but whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved by faith.
Praise God. By faith. Well, God bless you all out there. And I pray that your hearts were open and receptive to what the Word of God says. Not me, but what the Word of God says. God bless you all until the next broadcast.
You've been listening to the Salvation and Deliverance Outreach, brought to you by New Life Assembly of God Church, located at 774 North Apollo Boulevard in Melbourne. Their number is 321-255-6999. You also can write New Life Assembly of God Church at Post Office Box 2303, Melbourne, Florida 32902. Be with us again at the same time next week for another program, Salvation and Deliverance Radio Outreach.